I am Patrick Finley. He's Jason Leisure. Jason, coming up, we will break down the Bears-Rams game coming up on Sunday. We'll talk about Shane Waldron and his very bad, no good, pretty awful week. And we'll try to figure out what Caleb Williams can do next. That and more coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Jason, it's Rams week, and the Bears are chomping at a chance to try to get their offense on track. We saw glimpses maybe in the fourth quarter against the Colts last week, but that could all be a false positive. The jury might still be out on the offense, but what we've seen so far hasn't been very good.
No, three offensive touchdowns in three games. The biggest concern, Patrick, for me is the running game. And I think when you look at some of the issues Caleb Williams is having, that's a big part of it. That you look at, Caleb Williams needs to play better. Let's just say that right off the bat. There's been some bad judgment.
Yeah.
There's been some really kind of scary decisions that he needs to tighten up on. Also, everyone wants to kind of look at him and Jaden Daniels right now. Jaden Daniels looks amazing. Mm-hmm. He's playing better. Mm-hmm. Start there, as always. But a lot of things are going right for Jaden Daniels with his offensive line and with his running game. The hardest thing to do in the NFL is to throw when everybody knows you have to throw. And you kind of always have to throw if you're the Bears right now getting 3 yards per carry or whatever it is.
I will quote Cole Kmet, I would rather have the Bears roster than the Commanders roster, even with an offensive line here that's not playing very well. But I think what was so impressive about Daniels the other night, in addition to being on national television, so everybody was watching it, was the touchdown he threw on third down. Like you said, everybody in the building knew that he was going to throw, and he threw well. Shane Waldron was at Hallis Hall today to take all of our bows and arrows. I guess just arrows. They came from the bows. Walked in early, stayed longer than his usual press conference would allot for. And there was definitely, at least the way I saw it, a sense of, all right, you know, bring it on. I'll try and answer everything I can. He was short on specifics, but, there was a lot of, hey, I need to be better in there. And, in this market, which is very different than Seattle, it sounded like he made a decision that that was definitely the best way to put that forward.
Didn't go great, I would say, though. Good idea, but it kind of felt like a congressional hearing. There was a lot of, I don't want to talk about the past. I don't want to get into this. I don't want to get into that. He would have probably done better to give more rationale for some of the decisions he made and then dissect a little more in detail why those were flawed.
Right. The living in the past thing drives me crazy a little bit here. Just a peek behind the curtain. NFL rules mandate that every coordinator speaks once a week to local reporters. The way the Bears have done it forever and the way most teams do it is they make these coordinators available on Thursday. So by the time you're asking about a 4th-and-1 speed option call, it's 4 days after the fact.
It's a long time ago.
And the way that most of these coaches try to deflect is, well, man, we're on to the Rams here.
Exactly.
And that's fair, but this is our bite at the apple and the only bite at the apple we get in trying to break down what happened last time. And in the Bears' case, I'm sure Shane Waldron wants us to move past what happened last time. But, boy, it was disturbing enough that I think it's going to be a topic not only today but moving forward.
Some teams have their coordinators talk Mondays. It's happened. It can be done. It would be most helpful, really. Unless your head coach is the offensive play caller, it'd be much more helpful to talk to Shane Waldron right after the game the way we do with Matt Eberflus.
Right.
All of that being said, all the issues with the run game, with Shane Waldron, with Caleb Williams improving, but improving slowly, gradually, incrementally, I still like their chances against the Rams. This is not a very good Rams team in general, and especially not a good defense for the Rams. They're giving up 30 points a game. They're giving up close to, I think, 120 or something around that opponent passer rating. Offensively, they're down two of their best guys against a Bears defense that is very good. The Rams are not a good running team. It's hard to figure where the Bears would blow this game, except that they're the Bears and that, they just blew a game that they shouldn't have been able to blow in Indy.
Matthew Stafford is where they could blow the game. Matthew Stafford has forgotten more football than the three quarterbacks the Bears have played this season have learned in their lifetimes, probably. I mean, the first three guys, just randomly, the first three starting quarterbacks the Bears faced are all second-year players. You know, one of them in C.J. Stroud is obviously excellent. The other two are probably, by the end of the season, going to be bottom five quarterbacks in the NFL. The Bears, with a straight face, could say in the first, probably two of the first three games, we've got the better quarterback. And that's saying something, given that Caleb Williams' first start ever was against Will Levis. They do not have the better quarterback here. They do not have the smarter quarterback. They do not have the more experienced quarterback here. You know, the hope is that their defense is a lot closer to slowing down the Rams' offense than the Rams' defense is to slowing down the Bears' offense. And again, if you want to keep Matthew Stafford off the field, you got to run the ball. You got to complete passes. You know, the Bears ran 90-some-odd plays. What was it, 91 on Sunday? You know, the most in a decade. You know, that's a good strategy, but you've got to score. You can't just sit on the football. And, man, the first half last week, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it was high 40s in terms of plays, and they went to the locker room with 0 points. Like, that would be hard to replicate even if they tried.
Matt Stafford is such an interesting Bears villain.
Yeah.
Because he was in the division for so long. But, Pat, it seems like they've played him pretty close to every year since he got traded, too.
Yeah.
So the way it has lined up is that they usually are playing the Rams. And every week that I – every year that I've been here, the week that the Bears are playing Matt Stafford, there's so much talk in the defensive back corner of the locker room about how excited they are to play Matt Stafford because he takes chances.
He'll give you a chance. Yeah, right.
And he does. And Matt Stafford has had some disaster games against the Bears in his career, but he's had some really good games too. We were just 5 minutes before we came in here talking to Thomas Brown about Caleb Williams and trying to narrow some of his gunslinger mentality versus, you know, make him too careful. And Thomas Brown said, well, if you just only ever make the careful pass, you're never going to make any plays.
Right.
That's kind of illustrative of Matt Stafford, who Thomas Brown knows very well. Right. They were college teammates. Matt Stafford is a guy who will take chances and beat you on some of those chances. It is not just throwing up there, just throwing up a bunch of interceptions for you out of the jugs machine. Like, you are going to have to be on your game, or Matt Stafford can beat you with some of those throws too.
Well, in the context of this conversation, was I was asking Thomas Brown whether kind of all turnovers are created equal. You know, Caleb had three on Sunday, and one of them, you know, hit Rome Odunze in both hands. It also hit a defender in one hand, and it got deflected, and then there's a one-handed catch as Jalen Jones is falling out of bounds. You know, I asked kind of, you know, do you like the aggressiveness, or are you trying to, or are all turnovers bad? And his answer was, well, all turnovers are bad. But, you know, you want to still keep taking your shot there. I think the Bears are going to have opportunities. I think a Bears defense has spent all week sitting there going, I can't believe Anthony Richardson beat us. Like, you know, I think that they will be motivated to try to get back on the positive side of things. You know, and when you look at the Rams, I mean, Jason, how many of their kind of training camp starting skill position players are even around to hurt the Bears? Cooper Kupp is hurt and Puka Nacua is hurt, and they've got to lean on somebody like Tutu Atwell.
They're out.
Yeah,
they're both out. Nacua's on IR, and they've already said, Sean McVay said early in the week, there was no way Cooper Kupp's going to play. Their leading receiver is Tutu Atwell. He's 5'9", a second-round pick in 2021, and he has 7 catches for 141 yards.
Shoot, he can play for this team.
Yeah, everybody's numbers look a little better when your offense is going. And they just had a great win, the Rams did. They had, I think, 27-24 on a late field goal against the 49ers. So, you know that not only Matt Stafford on the other sideline, but Sean McVay, arguably the best coach in the game. Do you think he's the best coach in the game? Is there somebody better than Sean McVay? If every team fired their coach right now and they were all free agents, who's getting the most attention?
Yes, I don't think Sean McVay has the best resume, but I think he's the one everybody would hire first. I think that's fair.
Is he a better coach than Matt Eberflus? See, that might be a problem, too, on Sunday. I mean, there's a couple liabilities here. The Rams are not a joke.
Right.
But I do think the Rams stack up as a very beatable team.
Yeah.
Again, that's what I said last week too. That's what we all you thought that last week. You thought the Colts. You still think the Colts stack up as a very beatable team for the Bears, even though it didn't happen. It should have happened.
Well, sure. And you know, when you look at the Rams had to rally to beat the 49ers last week. Otherwise, they'd be coming in at 0-3. Personally, I think the Bears are in a better position now that they're not, that the Rams aren't 0-3. Maybe that would have made them a little more dangerous, probably. But it shows that, you know, I mean, they just, you know, they were getting beat the whole game and put together, what, a good fourth quarter and pulled it out. And, you know, in the NFL, sometimes it doesn't matter whether the right team wins. You know, if you can do it at the end, you can steal one. And, you know, Caleb Williams, the last 2 weeks, and say what we will about, you know, a bad run game, an offense or a passing offense that has been up and down. Caleb Williams, 2 weeks in a row now, has had the ball in his hand in the fourth quarter with a chance to win the game. He hasn't. And maybe, you know, for a quarterback who's, you know, only started three NFL games, maybe to expect him to do that is expecting too much. But, you know, I feel like at some point, you know, he's going to get an opportunity to go out there and win a game for him. And it might be this Sunday. I'm sure the Bears are hoping it's not that close with 5 minutes to play in the fourth quarter. But yeah, he's gonna have his chance. And you know, he needs to be better than he's been in those drives. Obviously, you know, the drive against the Colts lasted all of one play before he fumbled the ball away and sealed the game for Indianapolis.
Neither of us wants him throwing 50 times a game. Yeah. I don't think he wants to throw 50 times a game, even though he said otherwise a couple times this week. I think he knows that is not the path to victory in the NFL. And it's really, you got to get something going here with this offensive line where you have 4 out of 5 guys are holdovers from last year.
Sure.
Or maybe 3 out of 5 now if Nate Davis is going to be on the bench. But you have a group that was good at running the ball, really, really good at running the ball last year. You have an upgrade at running back in DeAndre Swift, who was a 1,000-yard back last year. You have to get something going there if you're Shane Waldron.
Let's do a little role play.
Sure.
Can we?
Yeah.
Let's say you're coming to town, Jason.
Okay.
You're going to land at O'Hare at 5 o'clock on a Friday.
Hmm.
This is where, okay.
Now, I'm sure now, I'll just cruise right into the city, right?
Now, you asked me whether you should take an Uber or whether I would like to come pick you up.
Well, well, we're friends. You come pick me up, right?
Hey, whatever you need me to do, I'll do. That's the tone that Caleb Williams had, I think, when we asked him after the game on Sunday, hey, yo, are you cool throwing the ball 52 times a game? Hey, man, whatever they need me to do, I'll do. That's the tone that he's had. And I think it must be fun for him to throw the ball that much, but I think he is wise enough to know that that is not the path to victory for the Bears, no matter who they play. And that applies to the Panthers who are coming up next week.
I don't want to see Caleb Williams become Andy Dalton or Alex Smith or something like that. I want, as Thomas Brown was saying, I want him to play his game and make incredible plays because he has that potential. But I don't want to see a safe game from him. I want to see a smart game from him. A couple of the decisions in the last two games have been really problematic for me, and I just want to see him show better judgment in the moment, move a little quicker with his pass.
Worth pointing out that Alex Smith and Andy Dalton, if you look at their careers, they'd be the greatest quarterback in the history of the Bears.
A lot of people would be.
You know what? Matt Eberflus on Monday was critical of Caleb's decision to throw into double coverage to Roma Dunze, and said, you know, the safer throw is in the flat, you know, where DeAndre Swift is open. And I tweeted about that, and predictably got just blowback from fans being like, turnovers are okay. We're just trying, you know, Eberflus is ruining Caleb. He's trying to coach the aggressiveness out of him. I disagree with that completely. I think if you want to win the game, you can't turn the ball over. But do you think there's a balance there between what is right in the moment and what is right for Caleb's developmental arc?
Yeah, but I think, yes. And I think a big part of learning to be a good quarterback is you complete 25 passes in a game and 20 of them are easy.
Right.
And then the 5 are, you know, even if you watch Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers in his prime, it's a lot of really just taking this smart, easy play 20 times. And then 3 to 5 amazing passes.
That's a play calling issue too. Like some of it is you need to give him easy throws to make, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And there should be talent here to do that, Pat. That's the thing. That's the thing that is so exasperating here is, yeah, Caleb Williams he needs to play better for them to win in a win now season.
Right.
I don't think if you take that out of it, if he was on Washington or whatever bad team,
New England,
where that didn't have expectations this year, I don't think you'd be looking at his first three games and saying, oh boy, a lot of red flags.
Right.
It's problematic on a team that's built otherwise to win now, and he should benefit from all the advantages of having that roster that the other guys don't have, the other rookies don't have.
Right.
But you have to teach him incrementally in little steps here, and you have to count on that talent. You have to make something of that talent if you're Shane Waldron. If you've been an offensive coordinator, if you're experienced play caller, game planner, and you've been handed a talented but work in progress quarterback, but all these other things, Pat. I mean, there's not a lot of teams that have a better group of skill players than the Bears, assuming Keenan Allen is healthy, which it appears he is healthy and going to return this week.
Yeah, I mean, he has.
You got to make something of that.
Yeah, right. But he, more than anybody they interviewed for the job, has experience with that. I mean,
I know.
I mean, you know, DK
out of a limited pool of candidates.
Yes,
because you're not hiring for the head job.
No,
but so you don't get to talk to everybody.
But they talked to what, 11 people?
They talked to a lot of people.
But you know, he had DK Metcalf, he had Jackson Smith and Jigba, first round pick. He had Tyler Lockett. All of those receivers. I mean, that is not dissimilar from Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Roma Dunze. You know, he knows what it's like to try to get them the ball. He's had good tight ends. I think Noah Fant was up there at some point. He had good running backs. I mean, Kenneth Walker's, when he's healthy, Kenneth Walker's really good. I mean, this is a guy who's got experience taking these pieces that maybe would have been a luxury on some other teams and trying to integrate them together. You mentioned him, and then we'll get to our picks. Does the return of Keenan Allen, if he does play, what does that do to this whole thing? I have a sinking suspicion it might be kind of the straw that stirs the drink here.
It's hard to say, though, because I don't know what Keenan Allen is right now. Keenan Allen was really good last year.
Yeah.
Missed time at the end when their season was over because of this injury, which appears to have either lingered or resurfaced.
Right.
And what did he have in the first game? Four catches or something like
29
that?
29 yards. Something
yeah, like that. I mean, he was their leading receiver.
11
probably.
Targets, though. He had 11 targets.
They throw to him a lot.
Yeah. I think he's a 7-yard completion.
I just don't know what he's got.
I think he's a 7-yard sure-handed completion, which they really need.
Yeah.
Like, that's – like, on 3rd and 6, if you can throw to, you know, Moore and him and Cole Kmet, if you can have Adunze as a deep threat – boy, that looks on paper, that looks so good.
But we came into this whole season wondering, is Keenan Allen done?
Mm-hmm.
And that is somewhat of an unfair question to ask of him because he's been super productive. He was super productive last year. I don't want to rule somebody out before they're actually done.
Mm-hmm.
But you had to come in with questions about somebody that age with an injury last year, the Chargers. Had to make some decision on letting somebody go financially, and they chose him. You're in wait and see mode. The Bears are in wait and see mode on him. They didn't extend him when he got here. They wanted to see what he's got first. So we're all kind of waiting to see what you have from Keenan Allen. And we don't have any clearer answer on that now than we did when they traded for him.
No.
So that's my only every point you made about Keenan Allen coming back. You're right in theory.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know exactly what he still is yet. We would have hoped to have seen 3 or 4 games before we could decide that, and we've only seen him play part of one game.
Keenan Allen's funny. It's one of the things that, you know, fantasy football brings out. Is anybody who's ever had Keenan Allen in fantasy football knows that there's a month where he's hurt. Like, it just feels like that happens, or where he starts and he's a little banged up and his snap count is limited, and I think that's the portion of the show that we're at right now with him. It's just, you know, Caleb's going to need him out there, you know, more than one game in a row to be able to get comfortable with him. And I think you can see, even with Kmet, the difference in week 3 versus week 1 in terms of them being on the same page. So it'll take a while. I don't think it's going to be an instant upgrade, but I think that, you know, I think it will help. And I think this offense might be just a little bit of help away from a breakthrough. Jason, let's talk about our picks. Real quick, you and I both have the Bears winning. Your score, I believe, is 23-20. mine, I'm doing this off the top of my head. I believe I'm at 24-19, 24-18.
Okay, same idea then.
Same idea. What's your thought process?
Well, it's – you look at the Rams giving up 30 points per game, and I got to think the Bears probably won't get to that, but they'll get somewhere near there.
Right.
And you – if you manage Matt Stafford – reasonably well without his top two receivers and without much of a running game there, that you should end up with, you know, not a clear decisive victory, but you know, you should be able to get into the 20s and probably hold them around 20.
The Bears have led for 7 minutes all season.
Oh man.
Is that not the right formula, by the way?
What is that? Is it the last 7 minutes of the Titans game?
Yep.
Is it all consecutive?
Yes, okay. That's it. Yeah. I think playing from ahead against Matt Stafford and making that offense even more one-sided, I think, is going to be really important for them. The Rams are also one of those teams that just doesn't travel well. I looked it up. They're 0-6 in their last six games in the Central Time Zone.
Do we know if they're – are they coming early or no? Do we know?
I don't know. But, you know, the Bears, you know, should have an advantage at home. Even though the weather's going to be, you know, fairly temperate for here. And I think the Bears defense will have an opportunity to take this thing over. And, you know, when we talk about the run game and we talk about Caleb Williams' comfort, boy, just game situation would do a lot. You know, if they're up 10, you know, maybe this run game loosens up a little bit. Maybe Caleb takes a deep breath. Maybe not every play has the potential to end the game. And that's I think that would be useful for everybody. So,
well, it would eliminate some of the issue of having to pass when everyone knows you're going to pass.
Exactly.
Being ahead and or running the ball well will alleviate some of that.
Boy, you'd think a dream scenario for them would be to get the ball and find a way to go score right away and then see if they can capitalize on that defensively.
It's going to be a field goal.
Three touchdowns in three games. Yeah. Jason.
What's the rest of the picks? I haven't seen these.
Scoop Jackson's the only one who has the Rams.
Oh.
And Mark Potash. I'll let you know what his pick is when he gets it to me. Because okay. Mark is late. Mark, if you're listening to this after the fact, you're late. I asked for your pick 2 days ago and 3 hours ago.
It'll be the typical, you know, he'll pick one of the teams in the paper and then tell us Friday, you know, I really wish I would have picked whoever the other team is. Doesn't matter. So that way he's kind of covered either way.
Jason, before we get out of here, I don't know that this is a must-win because I don't know how many true must-wins there are this early in the year, but it sure feels like a win here would lighten the mood around Hallis Hall, and a loss here would risk plunging it even further into the abyss. Is that a good way to put it?
Well, what's a must-win? I mean, when you go back a couple of years ago when they go 3-14, there's no must-wins.
No.
There are must-wins when you are talking about the playoffs.
Also when there are expectations of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is really the first time in September Matt Eberflus has ever had expectations.
I mean, what will you find out at the end of the year what were the must-wins? And
right,
you're probably
sure.
going to find out that the Colts, week three was a must-win.
Yeah.
If you're sitting there at eight or nine wins and you're one or two games out of the playoffs, you're going to just be so frustrated with yourselves if you're the Bears that you went and blew that game. And I think you're right. I think you'd feel that same way about this one.
Right.
This is not a game. And Pat, we talk about this so much. The whole first half of the season practically is must wins.
Yep.
This is your time.
Well,
the second half of the season is brutal.
But there's a difference between must win and can win.
If you don't, every game that you throw away during this part of the year, pretty much, except for probably the Houston game and maybe one other game, which you've spent, by the way, on the Colts instead of at home against the Rams or in London, which is kind of a wild card game. You don't ever know what's going to happen in those. Like, you've kind of burned your one
get out of jail free
mistake here by losing. So, yeah, I would say let's say hypothetically at some point down the road, the Bears get it together, look pretty good, are around 500, are kind of in the playoff mix, losing at the Colts, losing this game would just be hard to accept that that is when you cost yourself your season. So from that standpoint, I'd say, yeah, it's a must win. As far as the temperature right now, because that's something you brought up, that is not truer of anybody more than it is of Matt Eberflus.
Yeah.
Because this isn't a 3-week overreaction to Matt Eberflus. There's a big body of work here. When you came into the season, when we came into the season, what I was thinking is this should be a playoff team. The two things that could stop that would be injuries or Matt Eberflus problems.
Right.
Matt Eberflus, when you kind of looked through the skyline, the towers of the organization, that was the one you kind of got stuck on, and you're just like, I don't know about that.
Right.
And that heat is way up right now because of some pretty bad coaching in a couple of respects in Indianapolis. And I, you know, 1-3 start again.
Right.
They were 0-4 last year at this point. I that's going to be really problematic for him. And if you're Ryan Poles, you're not sitting here saying, well, I guess this roster that wasn't very good.
Right.
You're sitting here saying, well, I'm pretty sure I put together a playoff roster.
Right.
What's this guy doing with it? And that's going to lead to some hard questions.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when you have to bake in the, well, you know, the quarterback's getting better, but how quickly can he get to where he needs to be? That's important. And, you know, you mentioned Thomas Brown, and then we'll get out of here, Jason. Thomas Brown came from a place last year that had the first overall pick, fired their offensive coordinator slash head coach, made him the offensive coordinator, then took it away, then gave it back to Brown, I think. And just did the if you made a list of what not to do with a young quarterback, that's what the Panthers did.
Or as a franchise, that is what the Panthers do. They are the dysfunctional franchise of the league.
Yeah, so if this gets too much further down the line here, and I can see Bears fans saying, why are they still doing what they've been doing in terms of who the head coach is, who the coordinator is, you know, as the season goes on. Keep in mind that, you know, swapping it out, you know, firing your offensive coordinator in week five, that's typically not what good franchises do either. You know what I mean? It's, I think what everybody around here wants is for things to get better and for Caleb Williams to have the same group of people around him coaching him up and guiding him through the season that he's had up to this point.
Ideally, but only if it's going well.
Right.
I mean, continuity doesn't do you any good if it – I mean, Mark Trestman could still be the coach here, and I don't think that continuity would benefit the Bears. It has to be going the right way. And this has been an interesting – the groundwork has been laid. The stage has been set for this going into the year where you think you have a playoff team,
mm-hmm.
but you have a major question mark on the coaching staff in Matt Eberflus, and a major question mark has arisen in Shane Waldron,
mm-hmm.
who I thought was a good hire.
Mm-hmm.
The logic behind why they chose him over some of the other guys was sound. Mm-hmm. Sometimes your process is pretty good, and then things don't – go exactly as you wanted. The outcome isn't what you want. The reason why you would fire, we're getting a little farther down the road here.
Yeah.
But the reason in theory why you would fire a head coach or an offensive coordinator during the season mm-hmm. is because you think something still could be saved here.
Right.
You think this is better than it, this should be better. And I think someone else could make it go better. Otherwise, a lot of times when they fire somebody during the season, it's because they're just sick of them.
Right.
They've just had enough. I don't think the Bears are going to bother doing that.
No.
But I do think it's going to put very, very difficult decisions on the desk of Ryan Poles and Kevin Warren if this continues to not go well when they believe they've got a playoff caliber roster.
Yeah, and when you talk about this, at least in my mind, this is not only losing games, but losing it with an offense that is disturbing. And I think the offense through 3 weeks has certainly been that. I'll tell you, if Mark Trestman was still the coach, they'd have more than 3 offensive touchdowns. I'd give you that. Probably give up 100 points, but that is that. Jason, we are going to go, and you can follow Jason and myself and Mark Potash on social media. You can check us out in the Sun-Times on their website, on their app, or in print if you live in town. Jason, we will be back at it on Sunday afternoon from the press box after the Rams game. We'll see everybody then.